Hi, hello again, everybody, and welcome into another edition of Speed Syndicate. This one, episode 70. This one titled South Beach Showdown. You know, we're coming off the little homestead heroics, if you will. Kyle Larson getting it done. I'm Logan McGinley Morris, and thank God I don't do it alone. But it's a smaller crowd this evening. And let's bring him in. He is the show creator. He is sweeter than Canada's best maple syrup. He is John Mayer's biggest fan. He's newly a member of the Tyler Reddick fan club, from what I understand. And he looks damn dapper in a nice hat. Let's bring him in, Adam Carabine, show creator.
Well, thanks there, Logan. You're sounding a little hoarse there today. Are you okay?
Well, you know, it's been a day. You know, my dog had surgery this morning.
Oh, my goodness.
I've been Adam since 7:30 a.m. my time. And as you know, that is not my thing.
That is very early for you.
So that is not my thing. So bear with me if I'm a little hoarse, if I'm a little all over the place. But we're here. We're gonna give you a show somehow or another. Just because I want to, you know, spend an hour and have these dulcet tones talking to you.
I appreciate it. Yeah, good to see you. We got Freddie tuning in here. He says it's time. Yes, it is.
Always a pleasure, Freddie. Glad to have you.
I think Freddie's actually more on time for these shows than we are usually.
That's probably true. That's probably true.
Thanks but for joining us, Freddie.
You'll have to forgive me, but don't worry. We'll muster up something for you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You can ask Adam. I'm already feisty. I'm already feisty. Isn't that right, Mr. Carabine?
It's true.
All right. What do you say? Well, before we jump in there, let me. How you been? How's your weekend? You know, I see you got a nice. What is that? A Las Vegas Motor Speedway hat, maybe?
That's the one. Yeah. Rocking the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. I don't know, just because I didn't feel like doing my hair this morning. That's pretty much all it was.
I've been there.
What's new? I don't know. Not a whole lot. I watched some NASCAR this weekend. Had some household chores to do. Did some tidying up and did a couple runs out to the old dump to get rid of some stuff. It's time to purge that spring cleaning, you know? So
spring cleaning. Yeah. Spring has sprung and let's get it fun, boys. Freddie says he feels so sorry for Heim though. You're right. Corey Heim, boy, if he had a truck that would start, I think Larson would only win one of the three, but we'll talk about that. Freddie, we will talk about it. All right, what do you say we do our weekend review? All right, welcome in. Let's talk about it. Again, this one titled South Beach Showdown, and why? Because we went to Miami, you know, we went Big Willie style. No, 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 no. So, Kyle Larson went for the sweep, the weekend sweep for the first time. You know, it would have been the first time since I believe Kyle Busch did it back in 2017. Does that sound correct to you?
I think that's right. Yes.
but it wasn't to be, but he did get it done. The most important race, as far as he is concerned, because that's the one he's paid points for.
The most important race for him, the Indy 500. Is that?
No, it's we're still in March. It doesn't kick in until May. But come May, we are chopped liver, boys.
I'm just saying he chose one over the other. But go on, sorry, I cut you off.
You wonder, did he, you know, I don't mean to bust out my tinfoil hat, but did he choose it? Or did Mr. H go, hey, it's more important that we're here? And if you don't think Mr. H can't sway things,
he can definitely sway things. But
Ross Chastain ain't been the same since, boys. That is a defining moment right now. We'll see what Ross Chastain's career turns into. But right now, it is pre and post Hendrick Neutering.
Mm-hmm. So, he's not even driving for Hendrick, too. Like,
yeah. When Mr. H speaks, people even God starts bending his ear. So let me tell you, Mr. H. All right. Speaking of Mr. H, he's got a 1-2. Kyle Larson made a late pass on Bowman the Showman, who had a pretty solid race. Really, nothing to sneeze at. Obviously, he's looking to get back in Victor Lane, especially there's always that kind of added pressure at a place like Hendrick. but nothing to sneeze at. A nice P2, 1-2 finish. This was kind of the opposite of what we usually see with Kyle Larson wins. Usually when Kyle Larson wins, he kind of stinks up the show. I mean, it's him and then everybody else is racing for second. That was not the case this weekend. The way it shook out, Adam, and I want your thoughts here. We'll start with the Hendrick 1-2. Did the best car between the two of them actually win that race? Because I'm going to say no.
I think maybe not the best car on the day on the whole, but at that moment, I think Kyle Larson was faster than Bowman. Bowman was doing a good job of blocking him and getting in his way, but just tagged the wall, briefly, and that kind of ruined it for him, and Kyle Larson got around. So I think on that last run, Kyle Larson's car was a little faster, but on the whole, for the whole day, I think Bowman was the guy to beat between the two of them, for sure.
Absolutely, I agree with you. Freddie says NASCAR and AHA was a good Sunday. Absolutely, it was. Enjoyed it. By the way, Freddie, I highly recommend, and I don't get paid by NHRA to say this. You want to watch NHRA live and in living color? NHRA.tv, worth every penny. Freddie says, I think when we go to Darlington, he thinks Bowman's going to be a threat. I agree, but Bowman is, in some ways, he's underrated because he's not winning at the same clip his teammates are, right? In some ways, because that's the problem at some of these power teams. You get compared to the Hall of Famers that you happen to be beside. Kyle Larson is a Hall of Famer. He just won his 30th race. We know Chase Elliott is kind of the face of NASCAR. Granted, he has not won a ton lately. William Byron is back-to-back Daytona 500 champions. That's a rare feat. So Alex Bowman kind of gets overshadowed in all that.
Yeah, I often feel bad for Alex Bowman just by the nature of him being basically number four at a team with four great drivers. Hendrick's number four would probably be a great number one for many other teams, and yet Bowman is seen as, oh, he's the one on the hot seat. And is that fair? I don't know. I mean, is he winning as often as them? Not really, but he's a good driver. Like, he's got the talent, I think. I don't know.
Potentially a hot take here. I mean, I feel like that right now, the weakest link right now, I know this is going to be a little hot for some, but right now the weakest link at Hendrick is Chase Elliott. The momentum just, I mean, I like Chase. I don't have a problem with Chase. Now, Chase's fans get a little crazy for me, but I like Chase. I ain't got a problem with Chase. I root for Chase. And I remember being emotional at his first win as Jimmy Johnson pushed him to it. I'm not on the I hate Chase Elliott train at all, but let's just be real. Lately, and this even dates back to last year, he's not running as well as, say, William Byron and Kyle Larson. And, I mean, it's kind of been split into a grouping. It's kind of going old school. It used to be Jeff Gordon and Jimmy Johnson and then the other two. And that sometimes that was Martin Martin. Sometimes that was Kyle Busch. Sometimes that was Casey Mears, who will return to the Cup Series this weekend, ironically enough. And that's where it feels like we're back to, which is weird because I have said for the last several seasons, this is the best team that Hendrick's ever had 1-4. But right now, it feels like we're back to, right now it's Kyle Larson and William Byron and everybody and Chase Elliott and Alex Bowman are kind of fighting for kennel space with that particular corn dog cook. So,
I'm gonna come at you with some numbers here. Okay. And I recognize like average finish isn't always everything. It's not the be all and end all of all stats, but it's we're six races in.
We're a nice odd couple because you prefer stats and I kind of go based on naked eye. Like naked eye just doesn't look right to me.
Well, so this is, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you with stats, but I'm bolstering your argument here. William Byron has the best average finish in the Cup Series right now. Kyle Larson is third. Chase Elliott is seventh. And Alex Bowman is second. He's right behind William Byron. So I understand six races. Yeah. Can you keep that up over the course of the season? That's important. Great. But, you know, everyone's measured by the same thing. You look at someone like Brad Keselowski, he's 32nd. So not a great start to the year for him. But talking about Chase Elliott being number four at Hendrick right now, he's also got the longest winless streak going.
Yeah,
Bowman has won more recently than Chase Elliott.
And Bowman's last win came with the Chicago Street Course, correct?
That's correct.
And keep in mind, I think the only, and I was, because I was listening this morning to Sirius XM radio, because again, I was up way too early. And I think the only qualifiable stat that Chase Elliott leads in, and nothing wrong with leading in any stat, it's a positive one. But I think he leads all drivers this year so far in top 20s. And quite frankly, and while that is great for some teams, that is not cutting it at HMS.
That's not enough.
That is, you know, while that's great for some teams, for my boys over at the club, we would be celebrating good times. Ain't no mistake about it. But at HMS, at the you know, the Tower of Power, as it were, you kidding me? No, probably the most funded car on the track.
Yeah.
Like, let's just call a spade here. There's a few guys that are underperforming in big ways, and we kind of got to look at what's going on. And that's one of them's popular in Chase Elliott, the other one's not. Ty Gibbs. What's going on with Ty Gibbs? I don't know. Speaking of, I don't know what's going on, let's talk about Freddie's next comment. Freddie said Blaney had the best car of the day until Blaney's engine decided to die. Absolutely. Blaney was putting on a show. He was kind of pulling the Kyle Larson, let's be frank about it. He looked like the top dog to beat at this particular hunt. And, well, then the engine gave way for the second time in three races. And
out of nowhere.
I would think if you're going to try risky things with an engine, you might want to try it on your satellite team.
Yeah.
Hear me out. You know, call me crazy. I Loganity take, but look at that mighty fine Wood Brothers car hanging out over there.
The Wood Brothers car's got to win before Blaney does. So
before any Penske car.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Joey Logano, I believe, still doesn't have a top 10 this season.
I think that's correct. Yeah. Which is crazy.
Where did he finish yesterday? I know he's good in the point standings, but where did he finish yesterday?
He is 14th yesterday.
Yeah, so he's still, we are six races in, and the defending champion doesn't have a top 10. Again, he's gotten great stage points. He's been the stage point master, so I'm not gonna like knock him and say, oh my god, it's panty time over at the Penske, you know.
Well, he's 12th in points. But so and that's by virtue of the stage points he's collected.
Yeah, look,
45 extra stage points.
And then Austin Cindric, he's in the ditch because he's got the penalty.
Yeah.
And Ryan Blaney, it's right now Penske's the Ryan Blaney show, folks. Right, again, it is still too soon to say for sure this is how it's going to go, but week six is not week two.
Yeah, this is actually, sorry, this is crazy. Like, Ryan Blaney is 2 points up on Joey Logano, which seems crazy, I guess, partially because of the DNF, but also, well, actually, no, there you go. Ryan Blaney's top in all stage points for anyone this year. I can't use English, clearly, but Ryan Blaney has the most stage points of any driver this year. So it must be just those DNFs ruin it.
It is just, you know, that is why teams will duct tape the hell out of a car and go try to get me five more points.
Yeah.
Because you never know. A DNF is just killer for some reason.
That's the way it's cool. You know, if you duct tape it and stay out, then there's a big one that you're not involved in, you can jump up like 10 spots if other cars
that. It does happen. Yeah. Absolutely. And that's what championship caliber teams do. They find a way to get the best out of the awful days.
Yeah. I'm curious, actually, I wonder if this is like a Team Penske directive, but I'm just looking at the top 10 in stage points this year. And all three Penske drivers are in the top six of all stage point getters this year. Well, so,
well, you know, the captain, it's well, matter of fact, it was talked about a fair amount on the broadcast a couple weeks ago. The captain is very clear about we are all one team here.
Right.
The captain is very, very, Roger Penske is big into we are all one team here. If one of us wins, he thinks we all win. Joey Logano don't feel that way, I'm sure. But the captain steers the ship. And so, yeah, maybe that's a case of where, look, we're all going to be on pretty similar strategies overall. And but right now, like I said, when Josh Berry is the only Ford winner, and again, I know, still pretty early. We're just now starting technically spring. We're just now going to our first genuine short track this season. So this in 6 weeks could all be as moot as a compass. I get it. Because everybody's got cell phones now.
Oh, I was going to say, is compass moot?
Well, you know, everybody's got the Google Map. I mean,
yeah, look, okay, fair. I get it. Yeah.
Nobody's carrying a compass anymore. Right? If you lose your phone, it's over.
I just want to talk about this Freddie hot take here. Ty Gibbs back to Xfinity.
If this continues, because keep in mind.
I'm hitting the hot button for you.
Hit that yeet button for him, too.
Yeet.
Yeet. If this continues, that is what should happen.
Yeah, but will it?
Because let's be honest here, we kind of forget. Not you or I, but I'm talking about we as kind of people that cover NASCAR, fans, media, whatever you want to call it. We are kind of somewhere in between. We're damn proud of it. His second half was dreadful last year. This is not just a crappy start if you add it all up. His second half was dreadful. About the last five or six races, if not more, I think from about Talladega on, it has been brutal.
His last five races of 2024, his average finish was 34.6.
Yeah, that's not getting it done. No. I mean, God bless you, but there's only about 36 cars, maybe 37 most weeks on the entry list.
Yeah, that's brutal. I don't know what's going on there.
So I mean, we kind of forget that we're stretching into some serious territory of we're not. You know, I'm not saying Ty Gibbs got to go win. He's still a young man. He doesn't really have that kind of pressure. But buddy, how about a top 15? Let's start building, you know, baby steps here. This is, seriously. I mean, when was his last? You know, you got the numbers there. When was his last top 15?
It was race number 31 last year. Whatever that was. Would have been.
And that's top 15, folks.
I think that's Talladega.
Yeah. So about ever since then.
And he came 13th.
About ever since then, it has been someone who's cleaned out the toilet, took what they had in the toilet, and they threw it at the fan.
This, I'm going to read you his last, what is this? His last 11 starts.
Okay.
Starting at the Charlotte Roval last year. Yep. 35th, 30th, 36th, 32nd, 40th. Fast forward to this year, Daytona 500, 16th, his best this year, 32nd, 34th, 25, 22, and 25 again.
That is, did it, you were driving for one of the top teams.
That's bad.
That's just not cutting it. That's just not cutting it. And now, again, the question is, and Freddie, let's talk about it. And Adam, let's talk about it. Is because we know that Pop RC, Mr. Richard Childress, we know he's not. But would Joe Gibbs be willing to put his business first? Again, if this continues. Now, if Ty Gibbs rolls off a string of top five starting next week, then this is moot. Because, again, he ain't got to win. And frankly, he probably shouldn't have to win right now.
Yeah, he's young.
But he needs to build some momentum and have some good finishes. So if he runs off some top fives and top tens here in the next 6 weeks, then all we were doing was killing time on Speed Syndicate, and that's fine by me.
But I think I'm more just yeah, so go ahead. Yeah.
If this continues, do you think there's a chance, a realistic chance, the Joe Gibbs goes, "Hey, bud, I think we ought to take her back down to Xfinity for at least a season and kind of reevaluate things after that."
I think if you finish out this season and it's dreadful, like it has been, I don't see it happening next year. But if another season happens where it's not good, I could see it happening in 2027.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, hot take, I think JGR is on a bit of a decline.
Yeah.
It has been nearly a year since someone not named Christopher Bell has won a race for Joe Gibbs. I think it's like the last weekend of April, Denny Hamlin won a race somewhere last year. It has been nearly a year since
someone. I'll have to go back in the archives and look for you, but
since someone not named Christopher Bell has won a race for Gibbs. Now, has Denny Hamlin had some good finishes this year? Absolutely. He had that P2 and he had a realistic shot.
Yep.
But Dover, and it was and it did, Freddie, you're right, Dover. And because he tied Lee Petty that day, which was a little bit ironic because if you recall, Legacy Motor Club was running that old school 43 scheme, paying tribute to Petty 75 at Dover, that had Corey Heim behind the wheel due to Eric Jones's back injury at the time.
That is the last JGR win other than Christopher Bell. And that was April 28th last year.
And like, this is one of the major teams. This is the people that can compete with your Hendricks, your Penske's. I just think, again, I don't know how far this decline goes, but something doesn't feel quite right at JGR. Denny Hamlin has got more racing behind him than he's got in front of him. He's in a contract year. Chase Briscoe, I have next to no faith in to win. That's just my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he shoves it up my keister at Martinsville this weekend. And if so, that's all right. Absolutely. Denny is good at both of them, even though it's been nearly a decade since Denny Hamlin won at Martinsville.
There you go, man. You're making me check all my all my numbers here.
Let's see. I came prepared today. Can you tell?
I like it.
See what happens when I write the outline, the script.
This is what happens when you wake up in the morning early. 2015.
I get to look at all the listen to all the NASCAR. Yeah.
2015. That was his last Martinsville win. So 10 years ago.
And so, again, he could very well win. We know he is a Darlington whisperer. So I know he could very well win there too. But if they don't, because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think Chase Briscoe does. And I'm going to tell you right now.
Hey, Chase Briscoe won the Southern 500 at Darlington. In a Stuart Haas car that probably no one gave two you-know-whats about at that point in the season.
No faith in Chase Briscoe.
Right. Just saying, that was a good performance by Briscoe.
Fair. Facts don't care about my feelings. I get it. But I just, there's something about Chase Briscoe that I go, I'm not saying he's not a cup driver. He is. I don't think he's a Joe Gibbs cup driver.
Well,
that's just my take.
We're getting there.
We'll see what happens.
He's ahead of Ty Gibbs.
Well, that's our standard.
Yeah.
We damn near are too. If that's our standard. All right, another person who had a big day at Homestead before we move on is Darrell Wallace Jr., better known as Bubba.
Yeah.
Bubba Wallace, so I know he's a controversial name amongst NASCAR fans. Some people love him, some people hate him, and more power to you. This is whatever you want to say about it. But he brought it at Homestead in a track that he does not tip. We just don't think of Bubba Wallace and Homestead. We think of course, Super Speedway prowess, and frankly, he's also great at Martinsville, if you look at his career numbers.
Yep.
There's plenty of people that criticize him when he fails, so let's give a little credit to him when he succeeds. And yeah, I know it wasn't a win, but he, for a while there, it was his race to lose. And I know his critics will say, well, he lost it.
Right.
A lot of people that have killed for a top three, people. There's a lot of people in that field that would have killed for that kind of day. So credit to him. So let me ask you kind of quickly here. Is that for Bubba, is this kind of one good race? We'll see what it means going forward, or does that instill confidence for you in the season he's going to have going forward?
It does give me confidence for him, to be honest. I think there are a few tracks on the schedule that are seen more as like driver's tracks. I would put Darlington in there. Homestead is one of them for sure. Mm-hmm. Just because it is, I don't want to, this is going to sound like I don't recognize the skill involved for some of the other tracks, but like Daytona requires a certain amount of luck. And if you have a lot of success at the drafting tracks, look at Ricky Stenhouse Jr. He's great for, you know, a possible win at one of those each year. And he doesn't really do a whole lot at the other tracks. And does he deserve that ride because of it? Yeah, absolutely. I think so. Like, they're a smaller team, and good on him, you know, for muscling through the road courses and the short tracks that maybe aren't his strong suit. And I don't think he would even disagree with that. But when you get someone like Bubba Wallace, who's had some success fleetingly here and there, you know, his first win being that rain shortened win, which of course everyone was quick to say, oh, you know, NASCAR rigged it or whatever. There was all this criticism about it. To show up at a Homestead or any of these tracks that are the driver's tracks and perform well, I don't know. It's got to silence some critics. I'm sure it won't. But if you're looking just at facts, yeah, I think, you know, he's taken a step this year. He's only just a couple points over 20 behind Tyler Reddick, his teammate. And last year, there was this whole thing about Tyler Reddick won the regular season championship and Bubba didn't make the playoffs. And he was hard on himself through that. I don't know if you have noticed this. I'm pivoting here for a second, but since he had a kid, have you noticed his attitudes kind of more laissez-faire, if you will?
Yeah, he seems a little, as someone that, because of his driving for the King, I've seen his personality for a lot mm-hmm. of years. And he seems softer this year and in a much better place.
Yeah.
He has always been incredibly critical of himself. He's always wanted to embrace the criticism he gets, but also he's always not quite mentally, I don't want to say strong enough, but just not thick-skinned enough to kind of handle it. Where this year, something seems, like I said, laissez-faire. You know, he just seems a little looser, a little lighter, similar in some ways to how Martin Truex Jr. seemed during Speed Weeks. There was just something kind of lighter about
right.
it. And so I don't know if it's he's finally getting some confidence, whatever it may be. You know, because you know I don't have children. I know you have stepchildren, and I know how. You know, people talk about how it always changes your perspective in life and kind of just change. And so maybe it has. Maybe it's just made him kind of realize, take a deep breath. I mean, he was even joking on the radio about having a flat tire in the final yeah. yesterday. Now, if I'm the folks at 2311, I'm going, hey, I appreciate the fact you having a good time out there. But let's not make a heart sink either now. I mean,
that's good.
So, no, I agree. I think there's just something lighter about him. Mm-hmm. We'll see if that can maintain.
Yeah.
I think it's easier to be lighter right now, six races in, because he tends to ramp up the pressure on himself as the season goes.
You know, right.
Playoffs start, Art coming around. We'll see what happens. Freddie says Briscoe, he could see being a driver for the King or maybe high. I could see Briscoe someday ending up at the club. We'll see.
The club.
It depends on a lot of different factors.
Again, you guys are on like a first name basis there, hey? You in the club?
Well, that's just what they call it. So it's just either saying Legacy or Legacy MC. And so, yeah, I could see it. Again, people forget oftentimes when it comes to who's going to move, who's going to do what, is look down at the Xfinity and Truck Series and how many people are really knocking on the door.
Yeah.
If there's not a whole lot of pressure to get you, and I mean, we know Corey Heim is close, but it feels like Corey Heim is going 23-11. Now, that's not guaranteed, but it sure feels like he's going 23-11 someday. I would venture to guess 2027 based on what Denny said on Action's Detrimental several weeks back now. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, look, I think Briscoe is going to get every opportunity to be at Gibbs for a long time. He's got a great relationship with Johnny Morris, and they had a great relationship, of course, with JGR. So, I mean, I think he's there for at least the next three seasons. I mean, he'll get every opportunity. I'll be surprised if he wins more than three times in that three seasons.
Really?
That's just my tip.
All right.
All right, we got to keep moving along. Yeah. Justin Allgaier got it done. He went back-to-back. Again, this was Kyle Larson's race to lose. I mean, it was, absolutely. And it just goes to show why it's so hard to do the, you know, weekend sweep. Frankly, it goes to show why every race is so hard to win, because all it takes is one little thing to not go your way.
Mm-hmm.
On the final restart there, Sam Mayer didn't help Larson's cause, and he owned up to it. Credit to him. He owned up to him by screwing up. Did you get a chance to look at that final restart?
I've only seen the replay once, so.
You know, I get what people that are upset. I get why Larson's upset. I get it.
I don't know. Larson's made a few mistakes himself, too. I feel like it's part of racing.
But it's also a developing driver and a developing series.
Right.
I mean, it's, yes, it all helps fund the bottom line in NASCAR, but the truck and Xfinity series are considered development series. Yes, they are major. Yes, they do count. Yes, they are important. Yes, you can go in the Hall of Fame if you're good enough at any of the three. But still, it is a development series. So I'm not too mad at Sam Mayer. He owned it up. And that's about the best we could say. Screwed up. Hey, oh, yeah. Well.
Yeah. That's racing.
Oh, Larson. Absolutely. Larson was rainbow colorful in his interview. You could tell he was madder than me with him when my card declined. It's and I've had that moment, haven't you? All right. Corey Heim should have won the truck race. I don't know if you saw this, Adam. I know you're a busy man on weekends. Corey Heim's truck just randomly stopped twice. It lost power twice.
Really?
Twice. This is why see how the racing gods even it out, because Kyle Larson should have won the Xfinity race.
Right.
Should have. But he should have lost the truck race because Corey Heim had that baby in the bag, and twice his truck just went, ain't got no power.
Damn.
You know, and so Tricon Garage, I'm sure, is searching high and low this Monday, or probably had, I'm sure they're hopefully home by now. But they probably spent the Monday searching high and low about why did that happen, because not once. And then he came back and got to the lead again. But twice, the second time during some of the final, like with four to go, his truck just died.
Damn.
And so.
That's kind of like what happened to Carson Hocevar in the Cup race. He was chugging along, doing all right. And suddenly he's like, got no power. Brought it to the garage and was done for the day.
So I guarantee you there's some Monday morning quarterbacking going, what did this happen?
Yeah.
All right, let's keep moving it along. In IndyCar, Alex Palou went back to back in F1. I don't know how to say Oscar's last name.
Oscar
Piastri. He got it done. Your podium was Lando Norris and George Russell.
Yeah.
In the NHRA, Paul Lee got his first career funny car win. He was the 96th driver to ever win in the funny car field, and that was pretty darn cool because it was 18 years to the day that Eric Medlin passed away, and his father. Eric's father works on that car for Paul, so that was cool. Greg Anderson won Pro Stock in one of the most bizarre finals you'll ever see. And Sean Langdon beat his teammate Doug Coletta in an all-Coletta final round. So that was kind of – there's kind of your news and notes of the weekend, if you will.
It's a busy weekend of racing.
And there's another one coming up, thank the Lord.
Yeah.
But it's not quite as hectic. Not quite as hectic.
Not quite.
All right, what do you say, Adam, as we keep on ticking along, we do some Speedway Scoop. All right, boys and girls, children of all ages. Progressive is sponsoring Denny Hamlin in 18 races. It started this weekend in Homestead. You know, we talk about JGR. And it's great to get a major partner in the sport. 18 races, that is a steep commitment, especially in today's environment in terms of how people view NASCAR investments. It's changed in a big way since the older days where you would do nearly a full season, if not a full season. So Progressive is coming on board with Solder Homestead. Beautiful looking car, I might add. Very, very good looking car.
Yeah, I think it looks good. It does look a little like it says P11 on it, which I hope is not a sign of where Denny's going to continue to finish.
Yeah,
at least, you know, for his sake.
If he finishes at P11 to Martin, we'll go, man, this flow is cursed, this thing. But, you know, I was watching the Xfinity race, and their 19 car, Justin Bontanore. If I didn't pronounce that last name right, forgive me. It might be Bontanore. I don't know. But you know what I noticed? The front hood blank.
Yeah.
A Joe Gibbs car, the front hood was blank. FedEx, you know, left the sport. You know, we've got a buddy, Zach Bell, who is very in tune with everything Denny, and I mean everything Denny. And so he said it was because FedEx has, you know, got a new owner or a new president that kind of just is changing how they spend their money. And that's very possible. Things change over the course of 20 years. So I didn't think much of that, really. All right, you know, great partnerships come to an end. We've seen it with Lowe's and Jimmy Johnson, Mars and Kyle Busch. Great partnerships come to an end. It happens. I didn't think much of it. But now it's clear that Mavis Tires and Brakes will not be back for Denny Hamlin. And they had just started. They were supposed to kind of pick up that FedEx slack. The fact that Denny Hamlin, because there's a bigger issue involved here. I've got to tell you, I'm concerned not only about JGR. I'm concerned about the sport and how we market and sponsor. Denny Hamlin is the most marketable name right now in NASCAR. Period. Full stop. That's it. He co-owns a team with Michael Jordan, who is either year one or two in basketball, depending on where you stand on that never-ending debate. He hosts a very popular podcast under Dale Jr.'s platform. He certainly has leaned into being a heel. He is the public face of kind of the resistance to NASCAR's monopoly from his viewpoint. I don't want to take sides on that because I don't know enough of the facts. Denny Hamlin is a marketable, humongous star. He's a team owner. He's a co-owner. He drives for Gibbs. He's, again, got a very popular podcast that people wait with bated breath. And I don't mean just his fans. I mean people that don't like him want to hear what he has to say because he'll say anything he wants, and credit to him for that. But when you've got 18 races of inventory to sell, after the season has started, I just don't like where we're at as a sport as far as selling sponsorship goes. I really don't. And I mean, I'm not like a Denny Hamlin fan. Not at all, really. I'm not particularly a fan. But there's no denying his marketability. And yeah, that was the 19 of that car this past weekend. And
it's pretty bare.
And I mean, that's a Joe Gibbs Xfinity car. Joe Gibbs and Xfinity goes together like, you know, peanut butter and jelly. He's won a lot of races in the Xfinity series. And I understand that, look, not every driver is more marketable than so. I get that. I do. But Joe Gibbs? So either Joe Gibbs has got a sponsorship issue, which is possible because they couldn't find it for Kyle Busch. And I know some people say, well, what happened with Kyle Busch? I'm here to tell you, folks, I think Denny Hamlin is more marketable than Kyle Busch is at this stage. And I feel that way compared to Kyle Busch at Gibbs the last couple of years. Because Kyle Busch wasn't a co-owner with Michael Jordan. He didn't have a popular podcast. Like, and he really had stopped being the kind of the heel that we'd come to know him as. And so if we can't sell races for Denny Hamlin at Joe Gibbs Racing, either the sport's got a problem or JGR is in that decline. It's one of the two. There is no other alternative. I guess if, again, if you want to put on your tinfoil hat, the only thing that maybe there could be an alternative about, and I know you're saying, well, Progressive just signed on for 18 races, but the fact that that was even available is a problem. So it's either one or two. I'm going to say one of three things now, Adam. I'm working on the fly.
Okay.
I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on the third one. Either Joe Gibbs and company need to figure out a different way to sponsor their race cars, because now it's becoming a I don't want to say a serious issue, but a notable one. Number two, the whole sport's got problems and it all needs revamps. Very possible. We've talked about it at length. Or number three, because he is the face of this antitrust lawsuit with NASCAR, companies are shying away from him out of fear of how the lawsuit's going to go. Because everyone's got their, you know, and that's the one thing I hate about society, ladies and gentlemen. Everyone has their take already about how the lawsuit's going to go. We haven't even begun to discuss the lawsuit yet in the court documents.
Yeah.
Everyone goes, well, NASCAR knows they're losing. They're such an... I'm not taking sides. I want what's best for the sport. Other than that, I don't care who wins. If it's best for the sport that 2311 and Front Row succeed, that's what I want. So don't, well, Logan, you're just taking NASCAR's side. I don't work for NASCAR. I don't give a hoot. I just want what's good for the sport, period. We haven't even begun to talk about what's in the actual lawsuit. We're still debating on if they can have charters. Because just because we don't report those updates, because there's nothing to report, we still read them all.
Yeah.
And so people say, well, he's definitely going to win. He's definitely going to lose. I want to know, Adam, what do you think is scaring people away? Is it Denny as the face of this resistance, so to speak? Or is it there's a whole problem at JGR? Or is there a whole problem in the sport? What's your take?
I think it's a little bit more JGR-centric, but I think it also is indicative of the state of the world and the state of NASCAR at the moment. So I think JGR has extra difficulty. They're very choosy about who they want on their cars as well, right? So, no, it's choosy. Are you laughing at me?
I like that. You know, it's like picky, it's like cheesy.
No, they're choosy about it. Like, Kyle Busch left. They couldn't find sponsorship. I mean, that was rumored. We never heard officially that they said, oh, we can't get sponsorship, so he's leaving. But that was part of it, seemingly. He goes to RCR, and suddenly, you know, he's sponsored by nicotine companies, you know, things like that. And
3G, baby.
Yeah, right? And these are sponsors that, even if they approach JGR and said, we'll throw, you know, our checkbook at you, I think Joe Gibbs says, no, that doesn't meet our family values. And you know what? It's their company. They're allowed to do that if they want. Sure. Do they see that as like selling their souls to the devil? I don't know. But they're a little more choosy about it, right? And maybe to their own detriment, because they possibly lost Kyle Busch as a result, right? So that's part of it. But then I also think, yeah, just, you know, what sort of bang for your buck are you getting as a sponsor in NASCAR? Like, other than your logo finding its way onto TV and, you know, maybe Mike Joy will make some passing remark about the joys of Progressive Insurance, or like, I don't know, right? Like, what is the return at, you know, when in this current world there's, you know, social media advertising and like way more ways to get your brand out there than there would have been even like 10, 15 years ago. Right. And I'm not saying that like a brand like FedEx, you know, no one knew about FedEx until Denny Hamlin gave them a name. No, but like I think many companies are restructuring how they're spending money on marketing, and I don't know if NASCAR fits into those plans as much as it used to.
And I don't disagree with anything you said. I also wonder if maybe Coach is still kind of stuck in the old way. I think you probably could, and I we're not in these meetings. We've never done it, so maybe we're just talking out of our damn ears here. But it seems to me like teams have more success getting a sponsor on for, let's say, 5 or less races versus 10 or more. You know, we see a lot more patchwork for 2 or 3 than we do 18. I mean, that's a very rare announcement in today's world. It just is. So, yeah, I don't know if it's a NASCAR issue. I don't know if it's a Gibbs issue. I don't know if it's because the lawsuit is scaring some people away. Because let's be honest, we don't know what the sport is going to look like post-lawsuit. I mean, post when it plays out. And that's a long way from now, folks.
Yeah.
That's a long time gone, all right?
Denny's going to be retired by then.
Yeah. We don't know what the sport's going to look like. We don't know what Denny Hamlin is going to look like in terms of, I would assume he'll be out of the car by then. Never know. I would assume so. And if he loses, he might not have a race team. I mean, let's just be honest about it. I'm not saying that's fair. I'm not saying that's right. I'm saying there is a price for every price. That is just the reality of life. And I'm not saying that's okay. I'm not wanting that to happen. I never want to see a team go under. But when you mess with the bull that is NASCAR, you might get the horns. I don't know.
Yeah.
So
that's fair. It's probably a little unfair, but it's fair. You know, it's fair to say.
It's because look, as great as this sport is, it's a cruel business. So let's be clear about that too.
And I didn't touch on your lawsuit point, but I think that also might play a role for some sponsors that maybe are a little gun shy.
So. You know, it again, it is six figures, but it just is strange to me that, again, Joe Gibbs seems to be having some trouble finding sponsorship for his teams. When right now, I don't mean to throw in my bias at all, but right now, Legacy Motor Club doesn't appear to be having those troubles. I know as far as buck versus buck, I'm sure it's a lot less. But I'm just saying that the fact that it seems to be more secure in terms of sponsorship at Legacy Motor Club, where the biggest names on the organization don't drive the car.
Mm-hmm.
They are the owner and essentially mascot. Like that, you get my point? Like, it just doesn't add up. Denny Hamlin is still driving the car, still usually winning races, still always competitive, still has a podcast, still co-owns with Michael Jordan, still builds his own race shop. Like, Denny Hamlin is in the prime of marketability.
Yep.
And I know buck versus buck, I'm sure it's a lot less for Legacy Motor Club. I'm not trying to say that compare the two as far as, yeah, I'm sure it's the same thing. But it's just weird to me that, like, this guy can not only can he promote you on the track, he can promote you at his, again, very popular podcast under NASCAR Jesus's banner, L Jr. Like, it doesn't add up to me, but again, I know I'm not in those meetings, so who knows?
Yeah.
All right, elsewhere, Austin Hill is going to run 5 cup races for RCR, starting at Dartmouth the next week. Do you make anything of that? Is that just, you know, is that starting trying to dip the toe in the water? Is Pop thinking about acquiring a charter?
Is Austin Dillon? I can't even bring myself to say it. I don't.
It's not that.
Yeah.
Stop it.
I was going to say it just for the sake of argument, and I don't think Dillon's going anywhere. So.
No, my boy.
it's hard to plan ahead for whether you can acquire charters or not, because who knows what even's going to happen with the charters and all that. So
I would assume this offseason will have charters because, again, the lawsuit's going to take forever. If you've seen The Sandlot, you'll appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I just think, like, do you, like, I don't know, what's the going rate for a charter right now? $15, $20 million? Like, what if you spend that money and then in 2 years it's gone, right? Like, so that's a bad investment, right? So I don't know if it's smart to be acquiring charters at this moment.
I don't know. For anyone who wants to know, or is Kyle Busch's ride in trouble? I mean,
that's interesting.
You know, but where would Kyle Busch go? because he's only gonna make a lateral move or go up. He can't go down.
Forced into retirement. Not forced necessarily by Richard Childress, but just by lack of interest.
I just, again, because he's still a relatively young guy as far as retirement goes. He just happens to be doing it for as long as he's doing it. Joey Logano kind of falls in the same window.
He's 39.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's, I mean, you really should have, if you so desired, a good 5 years left. If you, even more if you really wanted it, but at least five. And so, yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's too soon to say in trouble because he's quickly become the face of that organization. Yes, you know, Austin Dillon's there. I get that. But
I mean, it was low bar.
And frankly, he's a more recent winner by hook or crook.
That's true.
Than Kyle Busch. But Kyle Busch is still Kyle Busch. Kyle has said he wants to run a truck series for a full year to travel that truck championship. But he doesn't own a team anymore. He only consults with Spire. And
I think Kyle Busch could win a truck championship at age 50. So I mean, I don't,
60.
I don't think that's within the next few years at all.
All right. Speaking of Kyle Busch, good segue here, folks.
Yeah.
Kyle Busch tweeted out, X'd out, posted out, whatever you want to call it, an announcement at 6:51, you know, he said 18:51 using the old military time. 18:51 are the two numbers he's most synonymous with. Turns out he's going to race his kid in a couple of weeks.
Is it a couple of weeks? I thought it was this week.
And while that's cool, that's awesome, I am reminded of the great Bill Shakespeare who once said, "Much ado about nothing." I mean, this had the folks on X. On X, on Twitter, what do you want to call it? On Insta, everybody was, is this it? Is he going to announce his retirement?
Sorry, I'm gonna correct you here, Logan. The race against the sun is on Wednesday this week.
Well, then, damn, you're a little late for the news, to be honest with you. Sure that wasn't a scheduled post that didn't get lost in the mail?
No, I don't know. Yeah.
I did not get fired up about the stall, even when he posted it. I'm talking about the tease, because I've seen enough of these social media teases in NASCAR land, and they're cool. They get us chit chatting, but I'd say 80 to 90% of the time, they never live up anywhere near to what we built ourselves in our head to think is going to happen.
Yeah,
we're thinking retirement announcement. I was thinking more. I thought this might be kind of a throwback scheme announcement with Darlington coming up here in a couple of weeks. And it wasn't even that. Hey, Matt, how are you? Did you buy into the Kyle Busch X craze? Because
1851.
You know, I thought it was probably, like I said, I thought it was probably maybe a throwback scheme announcement. Darlington was coming up. Wasn't even that. And I think this is cool for him. Don't get me wrong.
Oh yeah.
But to tease it on X like it's a huge deal.
Right.
Kind of much ado about nothing, you know. The old,
I feel
the,
like
the modern like day he, could have been an email
if he had just come out and said, "Hey, guess what, everyone? This week I'm racing against my son." I feel like that would have been a bigger story than the letdown of this announcement.
It's right up there with Legacy's big announcement, and then they slightly altered the logo. So, see, I didn't think it. I thought it was, like I said, I thought it was throwback. I thought it was a throwback scene because it's way too soon to. I mean, he only sold that thing 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's going to take another 3 to 5 to start talking about. You know, oh, he's. Because if you were going to start another truck team within 2 years, you made a poor decision in selling in the first place, in my estimation. But I don't know business. So, all right, with that, look, we got to keep moving. It's time for our weekend preview. And absolutely, man, it is cool he gets raced with his kid. All right, let's talk about it. NASCAR, all three series are at the paperclip where hot dogs will flow aplenty, as will short track tempers. for what it's worth, William Byron is on the Craftsman Truck Series entry list. He'll be driving for Spire. Of course, that's, you know, at this point they are seem to be hand and fist for Mr. H half the time. So for what that's worth, William Byron running the truck race. I was looking at the weather, and I don't mean to sound the alarm. And while I think we'll get it in, it does look a hair dicey on Sunday for the race at the moment.
Does it?
It does. Just and I don't know if you, Adam, have you pulled up your weather report recently?
I'm looking at it right now. Let's see.
So,
it's taking too long to load. So I don't know. Sounds great to me.
It looks a little. Like I said, I still think we get it in. It doesn't look awful, but it looks a little hairy. You know, it's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. Hey, Bob, does Martinsville have lights?
50% chance of rain on Sunday, but it's early.
It's only Monday. We're not here to panic, but I'm just letting everybody know to do the rain dances.
Yep. Freddie's the voice of reason there for
you. Let's get that vortex theory going, boys. All right. So with that, again, all three series are in Martinsville. Byron's running the truck race. We'll see how the weather looks for Sunday. NHRA, they're in Pomona with the Lucas Oil NHRA Winter Nationals. So we'll see how all that shakes out. All right, that's pretty much it as far as the weekend slate goes.
Yep.
Little NARA and NASCAR, as we like to call it. And with that, I believe it's time for a little racing refresh picks. Mr. Caroline, would you do the honors and update us on the score?
Yes, sir. Yes. Well, it was I thought we had a chance this week. We all kind of chose big, you know.
Feeling good about it, too.
I picked Reddick. You had Byron. Peyton picked Bell. And ChatGPT just swoops on in there, picks Denny Hamlin, who finishes P5, and he ends up winning again. So your scores, you got ChatGPT in the lead with 24. I'm next with 14, then Peyton 12, then yourself bringing up the rear with 10.
Mm.
Now, I know that producer Peyton is not here producing the show with us. She's helping take care of a particular dog that just had surgery today, which you mentioned earlier. But she is up first for picks, and I believe, is she there with you?
Oh, she's not far.
She's not far? Could you find out who she'd like to pick for Martinsville?
Oh, producer Eggleg, who is your Martinsville pick?
And while they're figuring that out, if she doesn't have,
she said Ryan Preece.
Ryan Preece. That's actually not a bad pick. Not a bad pick. Logan, who are you taking?
Give me, have I picked Josh Berry yet?
Let me see. You have not.
All right, let's take him. He's a bit of a ran on the short tracks.
I am up next. I think this is the week Brad K turns things back around. I'm going to give
Brad Keselowski. He's off to an atrocious start, is Brad K, but
yeah,
he's going to have to play himself.
ChatGPT, because ChatGPT is very dumb and does not know how to pick a new driver, ChatGPT is trying to pick Christopher Bell again.
Yeah.
And then it's thinking and it's having a problem. So we may have to just check in with ChatGPT next week, and I'll let you know what they ended up picking here, but it's stalling out here.
All right, buddy.
So there you go. But I'm sure they're just gonna beat us anyways. So
well, with that, we'll see how it all shakes out. And when you say we do a little closing time.
Oh, yeah, let's do it, eh?
Damn, that thing's fast. you fast. I'm saying, like the old Jimmy John's commercials. Anywho, Adam Caroline, it's been another great episode. And before every great episode, we have some final... every great episode ends, pardon me. We have some final words. What are your final words for the week?
Final words for the week? Well, I'm glad your dog's okay.
Thank you.
Glad that all went okay. Producer Peyton, we miss you, and I don't like having to push the buttons and somewhat be on this show. So if you could hurry back, that'd be great. We do miss you.
She has vowed that barring emergency, she'll be back next week.
Okay. No, you know, things happen. I get it. Sometimes I'm not here too. So, you know, life happens. But yeah, that's all I got, really. I don't know. Sure. It's been a great week. Oh, you know what? Here, we got some stuff coming up on the website. Today we had the post-race inspection, which is a little conversation between yours truly and Mr. Logan Loganity Morris over there. That's posted up on the website already. Let's see, Tuesday, I believe, do we have entry lists up yet, Logan?
I just posted them a couple hours.
The entry lists are already up. Yeah. We've got, I've got power rankings coming out on Thursday.
Is the embed feature on X fixed yet? Because if so, then I'll do the tweets.
Is that fixed? I don't know. I haven't tried, but possibly. If not, who knows? We'll see what happens. And
I'm getting a note from our producer that it is fixed.
It is fixed. Okay, there you go. So you can look for that tomorrow, the top 10 tweets of the week.
Yes, sir.
And Saturday, we've got Stat Chat, Stat Saturday, of course, breaking down all the stats for the Cup race on Sunday. And there's probably other things too, but I can't think of them at the moment off the top of my head. So there you go. Back to you, Logan.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you as always for tuning into our audio listeners. We appreciate you. We thank you. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already. Follow us on our social media platforms. They are various and they are wide, but go ahead and click that follow and like button. We'd greatly appreciate it. And just Matt and Freddie and everybody else that ever tunes in, we greatly appreciate it. We enjoy talking NASCAR with you each and every week. And hey, we're 30 episodes from 100.
Whoop whoop.
How about that? We're on the slow climb. We're on the slow incline, baby.
We like it.
So until next time, I hope everybody enjoyed Homestead. I hope everybody enjoys Martinsville. And look, one way or the other, we'll see you next week. And until then, we'll see you at the next track.
I know you're waiting for me to hit the outro button, but I just wanted to add that ChatGPT picked Chase Elliott. There you go. Watch for it next week. Okay, bye, everyone.